I would strongly urge against it, and I think we should put that matter for serious consideration at the end of this meeting. But that we should know who the board is and what their skills are and what they bring to the SAA, that's a very fair question to ask. But let's mull over this thing. I had told her that she should have the board chair, as I understand it, the deputy chair, and preferably at least one other person with experience of the aviation industry, and one person possibly with financial skills. That's what I said to her. I don't know who in the board qualifies in that regard, but I wouldn't imagine that more than four of you be here. So just to explain the norm, Floyd, and for those of you who are newer members here, that is the way it is. But let's hand over to the DM. Can you explain where is the chair?
Can I just apologize? We've got the message now. She started at the doctor. She's coming. She's joining us. But the deputy chair is coming in. She's at the door as we speak. And there are a couple of other board members that are joining us.
Officials of the department, right? And by now we should at least. There's nobody here that we don't know, presumably. Let's hand over to Peter. Introduce your team, please.
My name is Peter Maluleke. I think you've already introduced me, Jack. I can't see another member of the board now. I think they're on their way in.
Due respect, Peter, you've been here. By the way, we call each other by first names, and if we know you from the board, we do. But if you're not happy, then we can call you by your surname. It's just that we're so bored sitting here all the time together that it's stress to call somebody Mr. Unless they don't show collegiality, in which case you will see, as a chair, I don't call them by their first name. I'm not obliged to. So basically, let me put this to you. It's not acceptable, DM, and Peter, you're the only board person here, that it's now a good 12 minutes past 10, given the importance of this meeting, that you do not have a full delegation here. If the chair is unfortunately out, surely the deputy chair should be here on time. Partly we convene meetings at 10 and not at 9, DM. I mean, you must hold these people to account. It's to encourage people to fly in the first flight in the morning and be here in time, so they can't complain if we meet at 9 that they're late. We're meeting at 10. Sorry?
She comes in.
Ah, okay. Can you communicate to our unhappiness about her being late?
Not her.
Okay, thank you. Right. Can we move on, please? DM, can you start?
Thank you very much. Can I apologize for this? I'm told they are stuck outside and they will be joining us very soon. As I indicated, the chair, we got a message that she started, she had a problem, medical problem. She started with a doctor. She'll be joining us as we proceed with the meeting. Chair, I thought maybe the first point to start off, maybe thank all members, honorable members of the committee for allowing us to appear before you today. We have here the executive management from SAA, the acting CEO, CFO, and of course we've got the Director General and the Deputy Director General and a couple of officials from Treasury who are part of the meeting. Can I start off by dealing with the annual financial statement question? Section 55 of the PFMA requires that SOCs submit their audited annual financial statements to the executive authority within 5 months of the end of the financial year. Section 65 requires that the executive authority tables the annual financial statements in Parliament within 1 month of having received them. SAA has been unable to finalize the 2014-15 annual financial statements on a going concern basis without the support of additional going concern guarantees. It would not have been prudent for government to support the airline with additional government guarantees without first taking steps to mitigate the fiscal risk. In fact, granting SAA another guarantee at the time before taking such steps would have posed serious fiscal risk. SOCs and specifically government's contingent liability exposure to SOCs remain one of the key risks to the country's fiscal framework and an area that is being closely monitored by Treasury and government on the one hand but also rating agencies are looking at it very seriously because it is a major area of concern. Government has indicated its policy in the budget review that entities receiving support from government will be required to demonstrate sound business plans, improve governance, and address operational inefficiencies. As a first step, it was necessary that a full-strength board be appointed. From the 1st of September 2016, 11 new non-executive directors were appointed to the board of SAA for a three-year period. Cabinet approved that the chairperson be reappointed for a period of 1 year for purposes of continuity. The minister met the board on the 9th September 2016. He underlined that the primary focus of the board is to return the airline to financial sustainability. The airline's current strategic plan, 2016 corporate plan, indicates that the airline is expected to return to profitability in 2020-2021. The board has been asked with strengthening the strategy through inter alia, implementing a more aggressive cost containment measures. The network and fleet plan must be refined based on the sound business case so that the airline takes advantage of opportunities to scale back the operations of the airline to focus only on operating routes which positively contribute to the profitability of the airline. Close routes that have been making losses and ensure that the network plan is aligned with other state-owned airlines. The airline strategy needs to be better differentiate the airline, enabling it to continue to operate effectively through addressing the customer value proposition. The minister also tasked the board with appointing the CEO and CFO and other key executives in consultation with the minister. You would also recall that there was a process that was started by the previous board. Our view was that the new board must review that and even reopen it and start a new process. It must also ensure that SAA secures funding to meet liquidity requirements. These steps would stabilize and enable turnaround of the airline. It was on this basis that a further 4.7 billion going concern guarantee was approved. These key steps were set as conditions to the guarantee. The going concern guarantee put the board in a position where they could finalize both 2014 and 15 as well as 2015 and 16 for tabling in Parliament. I'm informed that the newly appointed board have been diligently working on finalizing both sets of financials. The board have also informed me that both sets of financials were approved on Sunday and are now being prepared for formal submission to the minister and tabling in Parliament. We fully expect that the minister will be in a position to table 2014-15 on Thursday and the 2015-16 annual financial statement before the 30th of September 2016 deadline prescribed in the PFMA. Nevertheless, in the interest of promoting transparency, we believed it to be important that the draft annual financial statement be shared with Parliament in the meanwhile. The committee should note that technical issues identified by the auditors have resulted in material change to the financial performance and financial positions of the airline, which SAA will take you through shortly. And I want to add by saying that I know that there have been noises around the guarantee. We believe that both for operational reasons as well as strategic reasons, because we believe that if we did not provide the going concern guarantee to SAA, that would have posed systemic risk for all SOCs in the country and even affect our positions in terms of rating agencies' attitude to South Africa. At this point, I'll ask the SAA management to probably make the presentation. or the deputy chair has just arrived, Triforce Ramona, and Swazi Chabalala, and Peter Shivaza, she said. That's why I nearly said Chivas. Thank you, Chair.
How are you?
Over to SA Management.
Good morning, members. And we really appreciate the time to present SAA results this morning. Before I delve into the presentation, I just want to dedicate this to the men and women of SAA who keep the airline flying. I think sometimes we are lost in what's happening in newspapers and we don't know why the aircraft stay in the sky. And it's because of the hard work of the people, it's because of the pilots that we have, the technical staff, the ground handling staff, the people that ensure that you've got food in the aircraft. So I really would like to say to them, they must keep up the good work, and we really appreciate, as the executive currently, the efforts that they are putting in keeping SAA flying, even under these difficult conditions. I will then go into the presentation. Our agenda stands as follows. We'll be looking at just the brief overview. We will also look at presenting the 2014-15 high level, as well as 15-16 annual financial results. This will be followed by just looking at the current performance of the company, where we look at the quarter one results of 2016-17. I think in just looking at the context there, ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand this, that these are results from 14-15. It reflects the performance 2 years ago, and I do think that we have at this moment changed to some extent some of the conditions that were prevailing in 2014-15, and the performance of the company, although challenged, is slowly moving in the positive direction. I think we continue to make positive strides in improving our performance, as will be seen with the high-level presentation of the 14-15 results and the 15-16 results. The board, as was indicated, met on Sunday, and we have deliberated on a number of things apart from approving the financials that will be presented. The board deliberated on the statutory subcommittees of the board, so they really hit the ground running. And we are comfortable as executives that as we continue and going forward, we will get the direction that we require from our directors and the new board. In fact, on behalf of the staff of SAA, we welcome the new board, and hopefully we will see the organization taking strides going forward. Although our revenues were suppressed to some extent, we continued on a cost compression drive, and the results will be presented, which shows you the resilience of the people in ensuring that we adhere to those costs through looking at various strategies of compressing costs. If you look at our contribution to the economy of this country, I think we do contribute quite a bit in terms of the jobs that have been created through SAA. It's about 33,000. And our contribution to the GDP is about 0.3%, which equates to 9 billion. And I think this is a positive contribution that the airline is making to the economy of the country. I think it's important to note that we do have challenges as the airline, which I will talk to briefly. I will not go through through everything on the slide, but I will just talk to a number that I think management is focusing currently its attention to getting those problems resolved. And the problems that we have highlighted before, and they're in the public domain, they include the weak capital base, and I think there's a number of actions that are taken, including the debt consolidation, which we think will aid us somewhat, but this will be covered by the CFO as he talks about the results. Now, the pressure on revenues, they are not only felt by SAA, it's airlines across Africa that are feeling this, and we are not immune to that, and the market conditions are affecting us all. I do know that some airlines in the African continent are doing quite good, better than us, but I think with the focus that we keep on this, we will be able to make strides. I have spoken already about the cost. I think the thing that I'd like to address as well is the issue of leadership instability. I have heard in a number of quarters people wanted to know the status of where we are with the executives that are currently some under suspension and some who have left the company. I think I can just maybe address the issue of Sylvain. Sylvain Boss, the case took place, and he was found by the chair not guilty, but the decision was taken to take that case on review, and it's currently in the labor court. Toulin Pierre, who was the GM HR, the case was heard 2 weeks ago, but they asked for a postponement. And so we hope that we will be able to resolve that matter soon. There was the issue of the chief procurement officer, Masimba Dawa. His case was heard and it was finalized, and he has left SAA. And also there is an issue of Cynthia Stimpel. The hearing was held, and the hearing is currently at the CCMA, where it's being reviewed. So we are hopeful that with the board forming its subcommittees, and one of which is the HR subcommittee, we would be able to see the appointment of the people that have left as soon as possible. That includes the CEO, the CFO, as well as other key positions within the executives. So that is something that perhaps I wanted to point out, that of course we have done something with regards to the executives that are currently on suspension. I think the other thing that I would like to point out is the issue of reputation. I think our airline is affected to a large extent by what's happening in the media. And I think it's important for us to focus our attention at taking the airline away from the media, because you see, when you are not spoken about every day, you then tend to focus your attention more on performance. And I think for the 6 months where it was quiet, we could see good results coming out of the organization. And our strategy currently is to try and deal with these issues of being in the press all the time. So I'd like to stop there and hand over to our interim CFO to present the financial results.
Thank you, CEO. Chairperson, I would like to first highlight to just briefly talk about the highlights that SAA encountered in year 2014-15. The first one being one of the things that the airline embarked on was the LTTS in terms of the programs that we embarked on. The first one was through the interventions and also checking what the airline can do and where the costs are and where the costs are spiking. One of the programs that was initiated in year 2012 was the cost compression program. And we're happy to say the cost compression program yielded results to the extent where in year 2014-15, an amount of about 2.2 billion was achieved. That was the target that was set for the airline for that 2 years, and the target was achieved. One of the areas that we looked at, the board and management looked at the routes and looked at the profitability, and also looked at the routes that are making losses. And to that extent of that exercise, a route that was going to Beijing and Mumbai was closed. and a new route was successfully implemented. The route was between Accra, Ghana, and Washington, D.C. Those, Chairperson, are the highlights for 2014-15. If you allow me, Chairperson, just to highlight briefly the highlights for 2015-16, again, continuing with the cost compression, the airline managed in 1 year to save an amount of 1.1 billion. These are sustainable savings, Chairperson. The airline embarked on a headcount reduction, the rationalization. Again, this was an exercise that was done through the LTTS, where we're implementing initiatives in terms of rationalizing the headcount of the company. And all this process was done via a voluntary severance packages, and we're happy to say there were no retrenchments in this process. All the people that have left the organization, they took the voluntary packages. The amount, the number of the employees that have left was about 906, and the costs that were incurred by the company are amounting to approximately 250 million. And one of the key important factors and the decisions that were taken by SAA together with the shareholder was the finalization of the Airbus swap deal. When I talk about the numbers, I'll talk about the impact that the swap deal had on the numbers. We increased the revenue on ancillary revenues. As I've talked about the cessation or the close of the routes that were making losses, in year 2015-16, the Abu Dhabi route was closed with effect from 1st March 2016. And for 2015-16, Chairperson, we've seen an operating profit. The company posted profit at EBITDA level. EBITDA level is operating profit before interest, tax, and amortization. As the acting CEO has highlighted, that the company is having challenges specifically on revenue because of the competition that SAA operates in, especially with the low-cost carriers. We've seen revenue now, that was the performance when you're comparing 16 versus 15, where the revenues, posting revenues that are below the budget that we've targeted for. One of the impacts that are hitting SAA most is most of the operating expenses are foreign currency denominated. For example, if you take 2014-15 and you split the operating costs, 60% of the operating cost of SAA are foreign currency denominated, while only 40% of revenue is foreign currency denominated. So there's a 20% exposure in terms of the, if there's a volatility on the rent, and then SAA is highly impacted by that. Just quickly, Chairperson, if I take you through to the numbers when I'm comparing 2013-14 and also 2014-15, briefly I'll talk firstly about the loss for the year. For 2014-15, the final numbers, as they were approved by the board of SAA, SAA posted a loss of 5.6 billion. The loss of 5.6 billion, you compare it to the 2013-14, which was approximately 2.6 billion. There are key factors that are contributing to the loss of 5.6 billion. The first one, just to highlight, is the impairment. The impairment that was posted in the year 2014-15 was about 1.9 billion. That 1.9 billion is made up of two elements. The first one is made up of the impairments that came with the A320-200s. This is the swap deal that I talked about earlier, to say this is the decision that was taken by the shareholder together with the board, where the decision was taken to swap the aircraft that were bought. It goes back as 2002, where the agreement was signed, and the contract came where SAA was purchasing 20 A320-200s. 10 aircrafts were delivered. These are the aircrafts that came with impairment. Basically, what happened on the contract, on the purchase contract itself, it came with escalation clauses, where on a yearly basis there's an escalation clause. So by the time the aircraft were delivered to SAA, the market value was less than the price that we were paying. So in terms of the accounting standards, you have to impair because you cannot overstate the assets that are in your income statement or your accounting records. Hence, I'm saying the decision to swap the 320s with 330s was the best one in terms of affecting the business. Hence, when you see on that schedule, in year 2015-16, you don't see any further impairment. Those impairments, the last ones came in 2015-16 at the delivery of 6 aircraft. One of the cost elements, when you look at one, allow me to talk about the cost and high level, I'll talk about revenue. If you look at revenue, there's an increase of 6%. Sorry, if you look at cost, there's an increase of 6%. They have moved from 30 billion to 32 billion. Two key important aspects that I would like to highlight there is the first one is the fluctuation of the rand. We've seen the rand weakening in year 2014-15. The rand has weakened by 10% in that year. And that rand weakening, as I said, the operating cost of SAA, 60% of them are foreign currency denominated. So the 10% decline or weakening of the rand has showed a huge impact on the cost of SAA. But again, in the latter part of the year, we've seen the Brent crude oil reducing. So it has come outside, kind of neutralized, because the situation could have been worse than what we are seeing. When you look at total income, in 2013-14, it was 30 million, 30.2, and in year 2014-15, it was 30.1. So the revenue is flat, as I've highlighted, that the revenue is flat because of the tough competition in the market. Domestically, we're seeing low-cost carriers entering the market. In year 2014-15, regionally, the airline has been affected by Ebola. When we quantified that, we've seen on the reduction of passenger numbers, it affected the yields, it also affected the fares. So when you quantified the possible loss on the revenue, it was about 500 million. So those are the highlights, Chair, that I would like to highlight on year 2014-15. And if I go to year, if you allow me to compare 2014-15 and 2015-16, in year 2015-16, as it has been approved as well by the board on Sunday, then in that year, SAA is posting a loss of 1.4 billion. Chairperson, I would not say it's a huge improvement. It's a huge improvement in terms of numbers. One, because of the decisions that were taken by the company together with the shareholder. But when you look at revenue, the airline is still struggling because of the competition, as I've indicated. But the decisions that were taken in terms of the swap deal, we've seen the improvement. As you see, that we don't have the impairment of 1.9 billion, but we see the finance cost growing. The finance costs are growing more because there's a heavy reliance. The company is relying heavily on the guarantees. So hence you see the increase there. Again, on the revenue is stagnant because we're still sitting at 30 billion. But it's not like the company is not doing anything. With the introduction and the appointment of the new board, we're happy on Sunday that they've highlighted that they will also form a team, a task team, where that team will oversee management in terms of implementing the long-term turnaround strategy. The operating costs as well have gone down. They have gone down because of two elements. In fact, it's the neutralization of the Brent crude price, because the Brent crude oil, it has reduced the price by 34%. So that is the advantage where the SAA then capitalized on. But in terms of the weak currency, in year 2015-16, the currency weakened by 26%. Hence, the results are showing that. Looking into the balance sheet, as the DM has said, that SAA couldn't finalize the financial statements for 2014-15 without the financial support from the shareholder. It shows by looking at the total liabilities and the total assets. The balance sheet of SAA is very weak, but we're working tirelessly with the shareholder to see what can be done. But that is there's no major movements that have happened on the balance sheet, so the balance sheet is as presented, Chairperson. Allow me to give you the highlights for quarter one of 2016-2017 financial year end. In 2016-17, as we have said, as much as we are aware as the management together with the board of SAA that you cannot compress the cost of the airline to make the airline profitable, you have to grow the revenue. But we have instilled the culture of compressing the cost where we can. For year 2016-17, we've got a target of 790 million for cost compression. For quarter one, we have managed to save an amount of 181 million. It adds to the 3.3 billion that I've talked about earlier on. SA Technical commenced the weekly maintenance checks in Cape Town. We should see the results of this operation in the latter half of the year. And also, in terms of looking at the revenue, as we have said, we cannot compress the cost for the airline to be profitable. What the commercial is doing is looking at all the routes that we are flying and also checking the possibility of increasing the capacity or increasing the frequencies on the routes that we're already flying, on top of looking at the routes, at the new routes that the company might open. In Libreville, Cotonou, for an example, we've increased the frequency from 2 to 3 per week, and we've removed the non-stops. In Brazzaville, Cotonou, we have increased the frequency from 2 to 3 per week, and we've also removed the non-stops. The slide reflects the quarterly performance. This is the quarter one performance. Also, before I leave that slide, I think I would like to highlight, Chairperson, and say quarter one is normally not a good quarter for SAA, but this year we've seen a decline, rather a shortage in the revenue, and the team is working tirelessly to ensure that we recover and close the gaps to the extent where there's a task team that has been formed, which is chaired by the acting CEO, which involves all the revenue generating units where they need to come and present the revenue to date, the target to date, and the forecast, and in terms of what is it that's going to be done to close the gaps. But the shareholders' compact for quarter one is not a good picture in terms of there are some targets that we have not met, but we're happy to say 66% of our targets have been met. The last slide for the day, Chairperson, is just quickly presenting the quarterly report as we have been requested. This quarterly report compares quarter one of 2016-17 and quarter one of 15-16. So basically checking where we are. The revenue has dropped compared to budget. And again, the budget, I would like to highlight that we have stretched the budget to ensure that we meet the targets and to ensure that we turn around the company quickly. But quarter one, the revenue was below the budget by 10%. But the quarter one results, the revenue was higher than last year's quarter by 7%. On operating costs, the cost, we've seen that the actual was less than the budget by 7%, but when you're comparing it to last year, the expenses were more by 10%. The expenses were more by 10% more because of the fluctuation in the currency. As I've highlighted that last year, the weakening of rand was 10%, and in the current, in the 2016-17, it is 23%. But the, as I've highlighted, that we're working towards closing the gap that we've seen in the quarter one. I will then close the presentation session, Chairperson, from there.
Thank you. Anything else from the SAA side? No. Sifiso, Dikeledi, Mr. Mania, I can't see whose hand is up there. Mr. Topham, Makosi, Pinky. Why don't you just get on the list as well, and everybody's covered. Right, so then, Tandi. Okay. Each of you has got up to half an hour.
thank you, Chair. Thank you, DM. Thank you, DG.
I'm not serious.
I mean, I'd say up to 5 minutes. Yeah. Because we need a second round. We need an engagement.
Yeah. Remember, this is the first of a two-part exchange. Good? Okay. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, DM, DG. SAA, and I'm sure it's proper for me to congratulate the new board and looking forward to further engagement with the board. There is no doubt, Chair, that it has been difficult times for SAA, and I don't wish to be in their shoes, to be always in the news. And I take the point which is made by the acting CEO that there's a correlation between their performance and how many times they are in the news. But coming to the questions that I have, it's good that the DM has spoken about the late submission of the annual financial statements, and we're happy that now we are at a position where you have satisfied yourself that the risk that you wanted mitigated by the appointment of the new board that's being taken care of. Going to SAA. Can you please just give us a snapshot of the status of the aircraft that you have? How many aircrafts belong to SAA? How many are being leased? And then that combination, how has it affected the financial stability of the airline? Number two, we saw the SAA going into the market wanting to raise about 15 billion rands. What was the airline trying to achieve? Was this in violation of PFMA or any other legislation which governs SAA? You know that there are a lot of stories which were being reported in the press about that. Can you take us into confidence exactly about what was happening there? Chair, I think I must say that a cost saving of about 3.3 billion rands in 2 years, it's a big achievement by any measure, and I think SAA should be congratulated on that. The top line remains a concern because you go with cost containment up to a certain level. I would like you to assure us, you know, usually people always take short cuts, especially when it comes to maintenance, that your cost containment measures haven't compromised the maintenance of the aircraft. I don't need to tell you what happens once you start taking shortcuts there. There's also a school of thought that your cost containment was more from low fuel prices. I would like to comment that it was just a windfall. There's nothing to write home about. It was just that windfall which everybody had to take. I would like to hear a comment on that. Chair, there is no doubt there's a concern in this committee about the high turnover of senior management. I hear, for instance, you have just told us what's happening, others on CCMA and so on and so forth. But that's just half the story. I think what we'd like to know is exactly what is happening. Why are you having such a big turnover? And the challenge to the board will be, how do we make sure that we try and prevent this thing going forward? So it's well and good to say that's what we are doing. But for me, what's important is that what has led to this high turnover, and secondly, how do we try and prevent the reoccurrence of these things? Because there's no doubt that it destabilizes the whole company. It cascades to the executive, it cascades to the management, it cascades to the whole staff once there's instability at the top. Lastly, Chair, so much has been said about the evergreen contracts of SAA. One of the things you said, it becomes a very big cost factor. If acting CEO, you can take us into confidence about some of the salient features of these evergreen contracts. And again, we'd like to know what are you doing about them, if anything, because we are told they're a big cost factor into the company. You also talk about that you are not able to increase your revenue, and you talk into, say, revenues because of competition. But South Africa is opening its skies to everybody, to all and sundry, including Emirates, who's taking everybody in the world as far as competition is concerned. Why is it that? Thank you, Chair.
Would you, I think the lady is next, Mr. Mania, and thereafter.
Thank you, Chair. Let me take this opportunity to welcome the presentation and also welcome the new board. We are aware that you are 2 weeks, but we also are aware that you have to inherit everything that you have found, and as an oversight committee, we have to ask questions, and you have to clarify or maybe give us information as to how are you going to answer to that, because we need answers as an oversight committee. Chair, according to the forensic report, it is recorded that there are major challenges with supply chain management and contract management. And the question I want to ask is, what is the essence of and why this continues, given that there are clear guidelines in terms of the corporate governance? Like I said before, maybe you might not have the answers now, Chair, but if they are not able to answer, at the end of the day, I would like us to agree to a time frame where we will expect them as the new board to go and seek information and present a plan how to deal with these problems. My second question is that we have observed that the KPIs, some of the KPIs are not achieved. And we know that this is historic, it's not new. Then the question is, what are the reasons for this, and why has been no performance management in place to deal with such? I'm also asking this question giving you a sort of a mandate to say these are the challenges that we have observed in as far as the KPIs are concerned, and we're saying there should be a performance management plan to address these issues, and time frames attached to the plan so that we can be able to make an oversight and hold you accountable to those commitments. Chair, there has been a belief that the board has been involved in managerial management operations of the airline at some stages. I would like to know at what stages, if it happened, and according to their assessment, those interventions, have they yielded any result? Because I think it's clear that the board has its own mandate and the management has its own mandate. But even when they were intervening, was it necessary? What can we say we have achieved in those interventions? Chair, on slide 6 of the presentation on challenges and remedial steps, on number 5, on leadership instability, I know Honorable Buthelezi is still have spoken to that. But in terms of the mitigation on that point, it is said that the new board mandate is to fill key vacancies as soon as possible. And according to me, Chair, the statement is open-ended, is too vague. I think there should be a time frame attached to that so that we can monitor progress. And it will also help maybe if when they respond, acting CEO, maybe to also highlight to me or to the committee as to how long does it take for you to feel the process that you're taking in as far as feeling of the post is concerned. On the issue of stability, instability of the management and the leadership in the SAA as a whole, it's a very, 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 very big concern to all of us. We want to see stability in the company. We want to see stability because if there's no stability in the company, many other factors are coming in and we are all affected. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I mean, it's well known that my view is that the chairperson, Dudu Miyeni, is ground zero of the problem at SAA. In my view, she behaves more like a warlord than a chairperson. And for that reason, I would have been delighted if she was present today, but she's not. When the chairperson wrote to the committee last year providing reasons that she would not resign, she pointed out that she serves at the pleasure of the government represented by the shareholder, which is the Minister of Finance. So my question to the Deputy Minister is, would he confirm that the shareholder, in this case the Minister of Finance, opposed the reappointment of Dudu Miyeni as chairperson of the board? Would he explain why the Minister of Finance opposed her reappointment? And given that the Minister of Finance opposed her reappointment, can he explain how it was that she has now been reappointed as the chairperson of SAA, which I think the Deputy Minister and most members of the public would agree is not in the best interests of the airline? So that's my first question. My second question is on the issue of cost compression. A key component of cost compression at SAA is, as the finance officer mentioned, is headcount reduction. But if you look at the figures, they are fairly astounding. Between 2010 and 2015, SAA employed 3,442 additional staff members. And if you look at the previous 2 years, SAA only reduced headcount by 15. So my question to the Acting Chief Executive Officer is, how is it possible that SAA employed 3,442 additional staff in a five-year period when the airline, in most of the years under review, was making not just losses but significant losses? And why has there been no serious effort on behalf of SAA to reduce headcount and to save on the now 5.68 billion rand wage bill at SAA? Thank you.
Chair, first of all, I just wanted to first of all thank the minister, the deputy minister, and the representatives from SAA. Chair, the first question to the minister is really around the SAA currency and the delay thereof. I understand that the minister is saying they had to exercise fiscal prudence in doing that, but I'm not sure how far does fiscal prudence go, given the fact that we are still without a CEO. And how do you turn around an ailing business around if you do not have the key individual? And does that not constitute fiscal prudence. And secondly, which is a question really that is really to the CEO. CEO, I'm not sure if I agree with you about underplaying the narrative that is in the public discourse by saying it kind of detracts you from focusing on ensuring that the airline is profitable. In the first place, surely that would not be there unless there is something that, you know, that is of interest to the public. And again, this is linked to, you know, our depth of understanding the international finance space, because if my calculations are right, and I'll tell you why I'm very concerned about whether this whether SAA actually understand their international finance place in which they play. You know, it is largely about monetary and macroeconomic relations, and you can see that in your own books, although obviously you are not giving that expression. Your period, I think the period from 2011 to 2015, it looks as though, because of the currency fluctuations, you've lost almost, if my calculations are correct, about 3 billion during that period. Now, what is the strategy of managing that? Because it's not okay to just be a victim and cry foul that, no, the rand is weaker, blah, 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 blah. We need to anticipate, you know, these kinds of challenges, because we are operating in that space. And obviously, it affects everything. It affects even our core business, which is transporting people around the world. Because if people do not have money, they're not going to be sending, they won't be filling up our flights. And our cargo, people will probably defer sending whatever cargo that has to go through that or whatever. So I want to understand, what is your strategy in terms of managing this very volatile international finance space? Because obviously it affects you. And I am very interested, because, you know, even what is happening in our SOEs does contribute to speculative attacks, you know. Whether we admit that or not, it's neither here nor there, but it does contribute to speculative attacks. Because investors, they look at these speculative risks, whether it's in the paper, as I was saying, which I say it's very important for us to actually take note of what is being said in the media and whatnot, because it does pose a serious speculative risk, which is a major risk factor in this industry that you are operating in. The other question, Chair, that is of concern to me is that, and it's linked to the absence of a permanent CEO, it's the issues around the fact that right now, we know that the SAA is not doing that well. Air is not doing well at all. But it looks as though to me that we are not taking into account what is happening internationally. Most airlines, and in your director's report, you've acknowledged that in most parts of the world, the airlines are liberalizing, they are consolidating, and so forth. But at SAA, we seem to want to come with different results, and yet we are not necessarily seeing sufficient evidence of what we are doing to liberalize and consolidate, you know, consolidate our business. And therefore, that speaks to your business operating model. Because to me, I'm from Durban, and I know the chair is going to agree with me, let alone the fact that we come from the same town, and, you know, he always tells people he knows me from when I was 15. You know, but both himself and myself. Okay. But both himself and myself are actually very aggrieved potential passengers of SAA. Some of us, at least he tried to buy mango. I fly British.
I do, unless I got no choice.
Yeah. The reality, it speaks to this consolidation. And I know that, Minister, previously it has been said, NDDG, it's been said over and over, we need to start consolidating. And I'm not sure what we are doing about that, because the reality is that that particular route between Durban and Cape Town, I'm just making a good example, we are flying British Airways. Yes, they are. It's because British Airways obviously understands they are operating in this highly competitive environment. But I don't see your business model speaking to that. And if you are not going to leverage on the passengers, how else are you going to turn this ailing airline around? And these are some of the issues that are of serious concern to me. The final issue that Chair, I think we need to speak to. I've noticed that there is, when I was doing the analysis of your finance statement, I saw a correlation between the factors that I've just said and your operating loss of 1.5 billion in the 2015 financial year, and against 374 million operating loss in the previous year. Now, this is a big gap, guys. It's scary. And I need you to give us comfort as this committee. How are we going to address that specific area? Because if we are not going, this operating loss, obviously, if it's not curtailed, it's going to balloon. And if in the previous year it was 374 billion, and now you are sitting at 1.5 billion, good Lord, we don't know what's going to happen in future. So can you also shed light to that? Thank you.
Chair, thank you very much. And let me also join my colleagues in welcoming the DM and the team from SAA and congratulate the new board that has been appointed. I think members spoke more around the issue of governance and the need for stability, both from the board side and from the management side. The board, we can't say much. They are just 2 weeks old. They're new from the box, but they should know that we would want them to work as coherent as possible. The issue, Chair, that I want to touch on is the issue of financial stability, which the acting CFO also spoke to. When she presented the AFS, she spoke about some of the operational costs being foreign currency denominated and the 20% exposure that SAA is prone to. And I guess maybe one will be interested in knowing whether even the leasing of aircraft in the way that they are leasing them from companies outside South Africa. We're not, for lack of a better word, I'm not being xenophobic and I'm not saying companies outside South Africa should not do business, but is it really worth it? And would want to ask the board to really look into that and check whether going forward will this sustain the institution because we want to see the institution not relying on the shareholder for capital injection from time to time. You should be able to run on your own. That's the first thing, Chair. The second issue is that, you know, Chair, from the organization that I come from, which is the ANC, transformation is not a nice to have. We have been given a mandate to transform the economy and change the employment pattern. So it's something that we should see it happening. But if you look at the breakdown of procurement activities that you see in the SAA, 24 billion rand procurement opportunities, 2% only going to black-owned companies. I'm not sure if I want to ask about women-owned companies, youth, disabled, whether 22 years down the line, is SAA really wanting to say, is this a story, a good story that we should tell? I'd be interested in knowing, out of those 24 billion rand, the top five companies that are benefiting out of this. Same with the employment patterns. And I think, Chair, if you allow me, I mean, they can even bring those breakdowns later in writing. I know we are baptizing the new board with fire. They may not be able to respond on some of these things, but they'll be able to bring that. A breakdown of your employment equity, the plan of training your pilots. Currently, would also want to know how many pilots do you have and who are training them, if there's training, whatever, the selection of those cadets, the breakdown of salary bill of the pilots and their packs. If we can get some of those things just to be able to see whether there's a transformation path that SAA is moving towards. The last issue, Chair, is towards Treasury, and I'm happy that the DM is here. You know, the announcement by Future Growth some few days ago about our SOEs was a cause for concern for all of us. And we are aware that there are discussions underway, which we don't want to undermine as a committee. But the call we want to make as a committee to Treasury is that, what happened to that shareholder management bill? Because if we can start to bring it back, it will assist in us setting up the framework between SOEs and the shareholder and putting in place the shareholders' compact. How you as SOEs and government relate and how you are able to make sure that there's delivery on some of these things so that we are not even experiencing what we are experiencing today, issues of governance, the challenges around how we run our SOEs and so on and so on. So if that shareholder management bill can come and then we are able to deal with it and all SOEs, you know, come into the fold in making sure that the shareholders compact speaks to some of those things, the framework is laid, and we are able to deal with this and bring confidence to whoever is interested in investing in our country. Thank you, Chair.
Lise, and whoever else is next, you know the order in which you are, right? It's Mr. Shivambu, and then I don't know the lady's name from Public Enterprise. Again, what's her name? Yeah. Natasha, yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, we do welcome the appointment of the new board. But I would hesitate to congratulate them, given the task before them and the warlord kind of leadership they can anticipate. I think we should be commiserating rather than congratulating, but I hope they are successful. Mr. Chairman, through you to the Minister, given what has subsequently been revealed, there can be no doubt that CFO Wolf Mayer was correct in his memo to the board, wherein he pointed out that SAA was technically insolvent and that further trading constituted reckless trading in terms of Section 22 of the Companies Act. Will the Minister appoint a commission of inquiry to determine whether or not Dutu Mjeni and some or all of the directors at the time acted in violation of the Companies Act and should be held personally liable. So SAA has been and remains in serious financial trouble and remains in business only on the basis of the some 19 billion rand guarantees from the South African government and the taxpayers. The annual report, as tabled, is not final, and this is illustrated by the sudden changes in figures which have been presented to us this morning. In the preliminary report which we received on the 15th of September, there was a massive 4.67 billion rand loss for the 14-15 year. Suddenly this morning, that loss has now jumped to 5.64 billion, an additional 950 million rand loss. There has been comment about the tight revenue turnover, and I would suggest to you that that is largely, if not wholly, a result of the inoperational operation department that was set up under a certain Mr. Bosch. The purchase of new aircraft from Airbus has been mired in controversy around Dudu Mnyeni's attempts to introduce African finance into the deal, which was soundly rejected by Airbus. This action by Dudu Mnyeni meddling in executive functions and apparently without a mandate from the board was reckless and brought SAA to the brink of liquidation. Finance Minister Nene was forced to intervene at the 11th hour to try to enforce the agreement with Airbus and save SAA from liquidation. It is clear that this intervention cost him his job a few days later. As if the Airbus debacle was not bad enough, Dudu Mnyeni then attempted to raise 16 billion to refinance the debt book using so-called boutique financiers, BNP Capital, and then tried to get a bankrupt SAA to pay one-man show BNP a cancellation fee of 49.9 million. As at the 31st of March 2015, SAA had liabilities that exceeded its assets by 8.29 billion. That figure now has increased to 9.24 billion and 10.96 billion as at the end of 2016. The company is bankrupt. There have been an exceptionally high number of senior members of the executive who have been suspended or resigned. These include CEO Kalawe, CCO Bosch, CFO Stimple, CFO Mayer, General Human Resources Mpeh. Minister Gordhan has asked for the board to review all current suspensions, and yet we are hearing this morning that legal action is being taken against at least one of the suspended. Can we please be told how SAA can take something, a decision of their own disciplinary committee on review? Can we please be explained to us how that is possible? The auditors have raised technical difficulties about the 2014-15 annual report at the 11th hour. We assume that the figures now put before us are the final figures, but we cannot be sure of that until we see the final report with the auditor report included. Madam Deputy Board Chair, will the board comply with the condition laid down by Minister Gordhan in his speech to Parliament on the 13th of September that the board will review all suspensions of employees to see whether they are justified? And if so, how will such review be conducted independently and impartially? CEO Zwane, I don't envy you your job, and I don't blame you for wanting to go back to your other job if the reports I heard were true, but nevertheless, would you agree that SAA is technically insolvent, and that if it were not for the granting of the latest financial guarantees, SAA would face liquidation. If you disagree, please explain to me why you disagree. Mr. Zwana, I don't see in the report any reference to a forensic investigation undertaken by one Indiebo Consulting into Airchef's tender irregularities. If it's not there, was such a investigation done, and what are the details? May I please, Mr. Swanee, just reassure us about what the technical details that the auditors raised were, and who are the experts from whom advice has been or is being solicited? Mr. Chairman, the report tabled is a preliminary report. The report can therefore not be relied upon, and there are key elements that are missing. The all-important auditor's report and the financial statements of the subsidiaries as are required by Section 55C of the PFMA. We are pleased that the Minister has agreed that a second meeting be held with SAA. We are concerned that the end of November or the 20th of November may be too far into the future, but that can be discussed as you have suggested, Mr. Chairman. Deputy Minister, please can you confirm that when we have that meeting, you've already said the finalized annual reports will be there, but can you confirm that the financial statements for all the subsidiaries will be tabled, that a copy of the shareholder compact will be tabled, that the evaluation of the board conducted by one statute corps, as referred to in page 62 of the preliminary report, will be tabled, that the benchmarking exercises referred to on page 54 will be tabled, and that when the 2015-16 at that same meeting are submitted, that with those, the subsidiary financial statements will also be included. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Leif, I thought you were a nice guy. All right, fine. Floyd? Yeah, I can't say that off, right?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Last week, as the Deputy Chairperson of the Board of SAA. Last week we tabled an urgent matter of national public importance in Parliament for debate, and it was primarily about the South African Airways. We were concerned that there were two members of board. When we actually raised the issue, there were two members of the Board of SAA. And there were reports that the company might face liquidation if urgent interventions are not made in SAA. And then we debated there and made specific observations because a new board had been appointed after we had requested for a debate to happen. And we raised specifically our concern about the reappointment of the chairperson, Dumien, to say that she presided over a largely incompetent board that is reflected in the numbers, some of which were being presented with here. That an incompetent and mostly directionless in terms of some of the commitments that SAA would come and make here in Parliament and couldn't achieve them. And we got assurance from the Minister of Finance that as a new board, you are going to competently turn around SAA. So I get a report that you met on Sunday. Perhaps you must tell us what are you going to do differently to what has been happening for the past five years under Dudumien, who misled the board and took senseless decisions on many critical things that relate to the airways. What decisions have you taken? Because we're sitting now with a team of actors in the executive. Everyone who seems to be acting. It's a drama. It's a soapy, it's Isibayo, or generations where acting CEO, acting CFO, acting general manager for human resources, acting everything. There is no one who is appointed into that position of responsibility that are very important. Makosi says it in English that they've got fiduciary responsibilities and they must be prudent when they deal with the finances and all those things. They have to be given the full-term responsibilities, but they are almost all of them acting. What are you going to do about that, and what are your time frames? That is the board. So the Minister of Finance spoke on your behalf, so you must speak on your behalf now. You are at the meeting. When are you going to appoint non-actors into the positions of executive in SAA so that there is a clearly defined turnaround strategy and plan for SAA? I'm very suspicious of this acting CEO of SAA, because in the last meeting where he appeared as an acting CEO, he exuberantly said, no, we're going to turn around the issue of the diversification of the supplier's base of SAA. And he made a commitment there, a very brief commitment, that within a few months would have dealt with 30% achievement, 30% of suppliers of SAE. And I said to him then that, why do you make such commitments? We had a meeting in G026. We made lots of commitments about diversification of the supply base of SAE. I think he must account on that, on what exactly happened, what has been done since the last meeting. The answer will reveal those, unless if it's a different actor as well, because there have been so many acting after acting after acting in SAE. We must be given. And I even get worried when he says here now that he is distracted by the media, that is why there are problems in SAE. What kind of an executive is that who says, I'm distracted by the media? So you read the newspaper and then you don't do your job. Or you watch news that SAA is not doing well, and then you neglect your work because of media. And then we must take such an individual seriously.
I don't think he literally meant that. You're being surrealistic. Right?
So because he said that he's distracted by the media, and it must be.
Hey,
maybe he must respond for himself. He must defend himself. And I think that one of the things which the board must be aware is that you must also assess the competence of these actors that are in SAA now. That is the urgent thing that you must have to attend to. Because if we had a competent executive in SAA, even with the madness of Dumien, some of the calamities that came to define SAA would have been avoided and prevented, because she, with evidence, tries to interfere with procurement processes, wants to line up her friends and family members to benefit out of the procurement processes of SAA. She gives instructions that are not legal in terms of what should happen on the procurement processes. And that is one of the things that you must be fully aware of as the new board, and then develop a plan that you might be, if you for some reason think that you're inheriting an entity with competent management, you might be misleading yourself. You must look into that closely, into some of the management decisions that had been taken, because if people do illegal things, they can't justify it on wrong instructions. People are falling today because of taking wrong instructions in NPA and everywhere else. So you must look into that. I'm working on the basis that we're given an assurance that you are a competent board, Mr. Tshisekedi. We're told that Mr. Maluleke We're told that you are competent, Ms. Triforsa Ramano. They told us that you are very competent. So what are you going to do differently to? And then maybe management must appraise us. I'm sure the board will not be aware of the exact details of the deal that he had with BNP Capital. What were the agreements? What was the scope of work that it was given? And what has it done thus far? And what was the causes of the cancellation of the contract that they were given to perform the functions that they performed? I just need appraisal. I don't have a view about it. We'll then possibly formulate a perspective once you've appraised us. Thank you.
Next, whoever is. Can I just, advocate, ask you, is it appropriate to say that somebody is mad or not? I don't know. Mr. Mania, don't complicate life here, right? Let's deal with the issue. Mr. Mania, now don't make life difficult here, man. I'm chairing, man. Please, let's deal with the substance. I know what he's trying to say, but I have to do my job as a chair, Floyd. And it gives me no pleasure to have to do all this. Let me tell you. Now, Advocate Jenkins, guide me. Can you say that somebody is mad?
Chairperson, you can. I said the madness of the decisions. We have never spoken about
the madness of the decisions.
The madness of the
fine.
Decisions.
Okay.
The insanity.
Okay, that's fine. I withdraw it. If he said madness of the decisions, some of you may not like it, but that's tough. Okay, if he says a madness, that's different. So what did he say, Advocate Jenkins, and is it appropriate? I'm not the Speaker of the House. We are going to be productive here. You ask them a million and one questions. Now, don't complicate life. Advocate Jenkins, is what he said, whatever it is he said, appropriate or not? And why?
Chair, I can only answer whether it's parliamentary or not. I don't see a problem with the speech as unparliamentary. But whether it's appropriate, that's
no, that's different.
That's
yeah.
Fine.
Okay.
Thanks,
you get what I'm trying to say. Fine. Next, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Firstly, can I start off by saying I think it's completely unacceptable that 18 months after the year end, we're still sitting with draft financial statements. We should be looking at the 2016, which are also now in arrears. And specifically when there is no audit report, and I want to make some comments now, which I believe that the audit report will be qualified for 2015, purely on the basis that we're into the new financial year, and any guarantees now issued are after 12 months, and a going concern review is always 12 months into the future. So I think the auditors had an obligation to issue an audit report after commencing an audit within a reasonable period of time. But whether it's qualified or not, officially in the end, it's clear that these sets of financial statements were, for all practical reasons, qualified. And I also think that they do not comply with IFRS, and I want to point out to you why they do not, in two material respects right now. But before I get there, I want to ask some clarifying questions for your next report. It's clear if you also look at these financials and the cash flow statements that not only is it technically insolvent, it's also commercially insolvent. If it weren't for the monopolistic position you have, you would not be still trading today. And I think it was also bear in mind that when you've got 18 months and your financial statements aren't correct, it's a serious issue. A Johannesburg Stock Exchange listed company has 3 months to issue audited financial statements. So this situation that you can just drag things out on and on is completely unacceptable, and I cannot even understand it's been allowed to happen for so long. And that being said, I think the Treasury's stance to put in things in place before issuing this guarantee, which they were almost forced to do, it's like you've got them over a barrel with their arms behind their back. They've got really very little choice to do this. So the fact that they have taken a hard line to make sure that you put into place certain things is actually quite commendable from their point of view. However, in this whole plan of yours, I see no plan on fuel. Now, in an airline, there's two things. I think you guys know this. Fuel and maintenance costs, besides the capital commitments, that make or break an airline. And both of those are basically out of control in the 2015 year. 36% of the total revenue represents your fuel bill. What are you going to do about that? And linked to that, the decision to buy narrow-bodied planes, what was the rationale for that back then? Well, I would presume it was because of fuel conservation or something to that effect. And why has that not come through, if that's the case? If you read in your director's notes, you say our maintenance costs went up by 31.58%. You take out the forex increases, it's 17%. On new planes, you shouldn't be seeing an increase in maintenance. You should be seeing a decrease in maintenance. That's the very reason for buying a new fleet. So there's something seriously wrong in the maintenance department, if you look at it from a financial point of view. Now, to understand this better, I was looking for some things. I was looking for a split of revenue between foreign, regional, and local. I was looking at the split on landing fees. I was looking for some other splits, which I would normally find in a segment report. There's no segment report in these financial statements. And a company like this group has to have a segment report. It's in terms of IFRS. So that's a fundamental flaw in these financial statements, and I hope we see that in the final versions. Secondly, SAA is always in the press for good reason. So if you want to stay out the press, you must do the right things. That means get financials out on time, etc., and not be litigating all the time. If you look at these financial statements is the second reason why I believe these financials don't comply with the IFRS. There's nothing about the contingent liabilities or the litigation that the airline is involved in. And that's a material shortfall in these financial statements. Also, I think the note on page 127, note 44, I think it is ongoing concern, is incorrect. Because the directors are saying there that they think it's a going concern. It obviously isn't a going concern, it's financial statements, so you better correct those before you sign off. And then also, what about the training costs? That's the next very important thing in an airline. The training costs are extremely high. I don't know what the split is for how much we spend on training. And can you comment on the fact that I'm hearing a lot of poaching? Well, it's not poaching, it's career choices. That a lot of these very expensive trained pilots are definitely vacating the employment of SAA. Is that a fallacy or is that a fact? Because then we're losing this money. We're spending a high amount in training, and because of the work environment, our pilots are leaving. And so just also going back to the maintenance, if you look at that in the financial statements, there's 3.6 billion in 2015 and 2.2 billion on acquisition. You know, just this is not an old fleet, this is a new fleet. So there's definitely something not right there. And on the impairment costs, you mentioned there's a lot of impairment. It was 1.8 billion and 1.6 billion, if I remember correct. We must remember that is as a pure result of the bad decision made by the board. I mean, that's effectively putting this into normal terms. You go to the BMW and say, please order me that 3 Series, and when you get it, because of the way you structure the deal, it costs twice the amount of a BMW next to it. And specifically, it's exasperated by the fact that we had a rand-dollar depreciation in this period. Now, when you impair, you have to take into account that as well. And an aircraft is always denominated in dollars. So the fact that we're impairing to such an extent in a market where the dollar went the other direction, it's telling you that because that plane is now an asset. The fact that you didn't pay for it with a new rate, you paid for it with the old rate, effectively. So the payment was much greater. So, the impairment is in the 2014, the 2015 year. Whoever made those decisions, and it's long before my time, really was extremely negligent. And if ever there was fruitless or wasteful expenditure, it was that decision taken back then. And there should be, on the board, some recourse taken. I mean, you are subject to the Public Finance Management Act. And if decisions taken by officials was to the extent that it's definitely fruitless and wasteful, you have to recover this money from those persons. So it would be interesting to hear what the current boards, have they made an assessment on that, and are they going to take any action steps in that regard, Mr. Chair? Thank you.
Tandy?
Thank you.